Hecatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Hecatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are wrestling with probably one of the most hyped, most debated concepts out there right now. Artificial General Intelligence. AGI. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. It's everywhere, isn't it? It's jumped right out of science fiction and, you know, landed smack in the middle of boardroom discussions. But it's also just drowning in hype.
Totally. Sensational headlines everywhere.
Exactly. You read the news and it feels like AGI is either like 5 minutes away from solving everything.
Or 5 minutes from ending everything.
Right. There's very little middle ground in the public discussion.
And that's precisely why we're diving in today. We're looking at the work of Julian Tegelius. His analysis, particularly in his book, Artificial General Intelligence, it really serves as a much needed reality check.
Yeah. Cuts through the noise. It forces us, and hopefully you listening, to move past the sort of fear and the wild promises.
And get down to the actual science, the engineering challenges.
Exactly. Our mission today is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
We want to give you the clarity, the tools maybe, to evaluate all these claims for yourself.
So you can understand why AGI is so much more complex and frankly, more uncertain than the popular stories suggest.
Critically, yeah. It's not just about taking the amazing AI we have now like ChatGPT or AlphaFold and just scaling it up. Making it bigger. That's the key takeaway.
Oh.
Okay, so to really appreciate why Tegelius's view is so grounding, it helps to know where he's coming from.
Right, his background.
He's a professor of computer science at NYU, the Tandon School of Engineering. And his specific areas are things like evolutionary computation, procedural content generation, basically designing systems that can adapt and create.
And what really stands out, I think, is that he's not just theorizing about this stuff. He's actually building it. He's an experimenter.
That's crucial. He spends his time developing intelligent agents, testing them, and he often uses video games.
Not just for fun, right? He uses them as labs.
Exactly. As these complex, dynamic, but also measurable scientific laboratories, test beds for intelligence.
That experience in game AI must give him a unique perspective.
It really does. Games are, you know, controlled environments, sure, but they demand real adaptation. He's seen AI do incredible things within those games.
But he's also seen the limits, where they break down.
Precisely. He's cataloged those sort of persistent fundamental brick walls you hit when you try to push a narrow AI to do something truly general, something outside its specific training.
So his insights come from seeing where the engineering gets stuck.
Yeah. It gives him this balanced insider view. He absolutely recognizes the power of things like deep learning, but he's also super clear about the massive conceptual gap. The gulf between, say, a system that's brilliant at the game Go and one that has genuine, flexible, common sense intelligence.
Okay, so let's unpack the book itself a bit more. What was his main goal in writing it?
Well, Tegelius basically saw all this misinformation swirling around AGI.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
Right. And he wanted to provide a clear, pragmatic roadmap, especially for people like policymakers, students, professionals. Anyone who needs to understand this beyond the headlines.
So first things first, he draws that line between the AI we have now and AGI.
Exactly. He starts by defining ANI, artificial narrow intelligence. That's what we've got.
Yeah.
Things like AlphaGo, recommendation engines, even the big language models like GPT, they're amazing.
At one specific thing.
Superhumanly good. What? Sometimes. But just one thing. AGI, on the other hand, that's the dream of general cognitive abilities. Flexibility.
Common sense.
Common sense, yeah. Across pretty much all kinds of tasks. Imagine something that could, you know, switch from doing complex data analysis to figuring out why your sink is leaking using the same underlying general knowledge. That's the idea.
A true generalist.
Right. So the book takes you on this journey. It starts with, surprisingly, how hard it is to even define intelligence.
That's fundamental, isn't it?
It really is. Then it looks at where we are now, the power, but also the limitations of deep learning. And finally, it explores the future, the prospects, but stresses the huge uncertainty about when or even if true AGI will happen.
And the core argument, the thesis, is that just making current AI bigger won't cut it.
Pretty much. He argues the path to AGI needs a fundamental conceptual leap, something new.
And he suggests maybe hybrid systems.
Likely, yes. Systems that cleverly combine different approaches, maybe the logic of symbolic AI, the pattern matching of neural networks, and the adaptability you get from evolutionary methods.
Okay, let's dive deeper into those core challenges. You mentioned the first hurdle isn't even coding, it's philosophy. defying intelligence.
Yeah, it sounds basic, but it's a massive problem. If the experts can't even agree on a solid definition of general intelligence, well, how do you know what you're trying to build?
Or how do you know if you've succeeded?
Exactly. It's like trying to build a spaceship when half the team thinks you're going to Mars and the other half thinks you're building a submarine. You need a clear target.
And that fuzzy definition leads to the next big problem he highlights.
It connects directly to what Stiglitz sees as the absolute critical missing piece, transfer learning.
Okay, what's that exactly?
So human intelligence shines when we take knowledge from one area, maybe learning physics principles in school, and apply to something completely different, like figuring out the best way to load a moving truck.
Right, using the concepts in a new context.
Precisely. Current AI, even the really advanced stuff, is fundamentally bad at that. It doesn't transfer knowledge effectively between different domains.
And we see that failure as brittleness. Is that the term he uses?
Yeah, brittleness.
Yeah.
It's a great description. These systems can be incredibly good within the specific data or environment they were trained on.
But change things slightly.
And they can just fall apart. Catastrophically sometimes. He gives examples like training an AI on perfect code examples. It gets really good. But then ask it to understand code where variable names are. Like emojis.
It breaks.
Because it learned the pattern of text variables, not the underlying concept of what a variable is and does.
That's a really important distinction.
It totally reframes the just scale it up argument, doesn't it? Because no matter how huge you make the model, if it's only learning surface patterns, not deeper concepts, that brittleness likely remains.
So to get past that, he suggests hybridization.
Yeah.
Mixing different AI approaches.
Yes. He looks at the main strategy, symbolic AI, which is like old school logic and rules.
But old-fashioned AI. G-O-F-A-I.
Right. That's the one. Then connectionist AI, which is deep learning. Neural networks great at pattern matching and messy data. And also evolutionary or developmental approaches, which focus on learning and adapting over time.
But wait, deep learning is so powerful now. Does bringing back older stuff like symbolic rules slow things down? Is mixing them actually practical?
Well, it's maybe not easy, but he argues it's likely necessary. Think about it. Deep learning is fantastic for recognizing patterns, like finding a cat in a photo, dealing with probabilities. But symbolic AI is really good at strict logic, planning guarantees, like calculating taxes correctly every single time, or playing a perfect chess endgame where the rules are absolute.
Ah, so you need both. The pattern recognition and the reliable logic.
For truly robust, trustworthy AGI, probably yes. You need the network's flexibility and the symbol system's guarantees.
That makes a lot of sense. And speaking of needing things from the real world, Tigelius also really emphasizes embodiment and situatedness.
Yes. This is a fascinating point. He basically argues that you might not be able to separate intelligence from having a body and existing within a physical and social environment.
Like you can't just build a brain in a vat.
That's the idea. Maybe a purely disembodied AI, just code on a server, could never achieve true, grounded understanding. Because so much of our knowledge comes from interacting with the world.
Like a baby learning about gravity by dropping stuff, not just reading a definition.
Exactly. The physical constraints, the social interactions, the feedback loop of acting in the world, that might be essential for building up genuine intelligence and critically common sense.
Okay. Which brings us nicely to his argument about games. He calls them the AGI gymnasium.
Huh. Yeah, I like that term. He sees games as essential scientific tools. They're complex, they're dynamic, you can measure performance clearly.
And they're safe sandboxes.
Safe sandboxes, exactly. Places where AI agents can try things, fail, learn, and adapt without real-world consequences. That failure and adaptation cycle is crucial for developing intelligence.
He contrasts Deep Blue playing chess with AlphaGo playing Go, right?
Yeah, it's a great example. Deep Blue was mostly brute force calculation, exploring possibilities within known human strategies.
Whereas AlphaGo?
AlphaGo used deep learning and reinforcement learning to discover completely new strategies, moves that human masters hadn't conceived of. It showed a kind of creative problem solving within the game's rules, more like learning, less like calculating.
But even AlphaGo, as amazing as it was, still hits a wall when we talk about the really hardest problems for AGI.
Oh, absolutely. And near the top of that list is common sense.
That giant invisible web of knowledge we all just have.
Exactly. It's knowing stuff like, you know, water is wet, you can't push a rope. If you drop a glass, it will likely break. A car isn't going to drive across a lake.
Things that are just obvious to us.
Obvious, implicit, and incredibly hard to program. If you tell a narrow AI assistant, put the milk in the fridge, we can probably do that. But if you tell it, put the sun in the fridge.
A human laughs. It's absurd.
Right. A human gets the impossibility instantly, because of common sense. A narrow AI, lacking that grounding in how the world works, might just try to calculate a path or generate nonsense because the request isn't logically impossible according to its limited rules, just physically and contextually absurd.
Wow, okay. And then there's a big question everyone asks. When? What about the timelines for AGI?
Tigelius is very clear on this. Predicting AGI timelines is basically impossible, or at least highly unreliable.
Too complex. Too many unknowns.
Exactly. The sheer number of scientific and engineering breakthroughs needed, the uncertainty around which approaches will work, it makes picking a date like 2030 or 2045 mostly guesswork.
So instead of fixating on a date?
His focus is on preparation. We need balanced discourse. We need to deal with the current issues of narrow AI bias, job impacts, misuse right now.
While also investing in safety research.
Yes, and governance and public education. Understanding the real challenges helps us prepare sensibly, rather than reacting out of, you know, misplaced fear or overly utopian hopes based on unreliable predictions.
Yeah.
So if we try to boil down the main messages, the core themes, I think the first one has to be that definitional challenge.
It really is striking, isn't it, that we're trying to build this thing, maybe the most complex thing ever, without a clear, agreed-upon blueprint of what intelligence even is?
It separates AGI from almost any other engineering project. If you can't define success, how do you measure progress? How do you even know what you're aiming for? It causes so much confusion.
And that confusion connects to the second theme, really understanding the limitations of current AI.
Yeah, we need to be honest about it. Current systems are amazing, revolutionary in some ways, but they are fundamentally narrow. They are brittle.
They don't generalize well.
Recognizing that is key for making smart decisions now, whether you're in business, research, or policy. Don't expect miracles of general intelligence from narrow tools.
Okay, theme three seems to be the Kapik side of that limitation. The absolute importance of transfer and adaptability.
That's the holy grail, really, that ability to take knowledge, skills, concepts, and apply them flexibly in new situations. That's what defines general intelligence for humans.
And it's the piece that's largely missing from AI right now. Solving that transfer problem is maybe the central challenge.
It seems to be. And finally, maybe the most comforting theme for people feeling overwhelmed by the hype.
Pragmatism over prophecy.
Exactly. Tigelius really pushes for focusing on the actual science, the hard problems, the rigorous work that needs to be done.
Resisting the urge to get caught up in sensational stories or firm predictions about the future.
Yeah. Keep it grounded in the complexities we know exist, rather than speculating wildly about futures we can't predict.
I find Tigelius is really good at phrasing things in ways that stick. Those little summaries of big ideas.
He really is. One idea he hammers home is something like, the gap between narrow AI and general AI is not just about scaling up what we have, it's about solving fundamentally different problems that we don't yet fully understand.
That nails it, doesn't it? It's not just a bigger ladder. We need a different kind of technology, a qualitative leap, not just quantitative.
Precisely. You need the rocket, not just a taller ladder, to get to the moon.
Yeah.
And another one that captures that embodiment idea, intelligence is not a single thing. It's a collection of capabilities that emerge from the interaction between cognitive systems and their environments.
Right. It emphasizes that intelligence isn't just software, it's situated. It grows out of interaction.
Which is a very different perspective than just thinking about algorithms in isolation.
And he also challenges how we even test for intelligence, moving beyond just conversation.
Yes, he offers a critique like, the true test of intelligence is not imitation, but creation, generalization, and communication.
So it's not enough to just sound smart, like the old Turing test idea.
Exactly. Forget the smoke and mirrors of chatbot conversations. The real test is, can the system genuinely create new solutions? Can it generalize knowledge? Can it communicate complex ideas effectively? That's a much higher and more meaningful bar.
Okay, so let's bring this down to earth. For someone listening, maybe a professional trying to make sense of AI claims, or an investor, what are the practical takeaways here?
Well, first off, this gives you much better critical evaluation skills. Media literacy for the AI age, you could say.
Right. Seeing past the hype.
Yeah. If you're a business leader, understanding these concepts' brittleness, the transfer learning problem helps you avoid AI washing. When a vendor comes promising some magic AGI solution that will solve everything.
You can ask better questions.
You can ask the tough questions. Like, okay, how does your system handle situations outside its training data? How well does it transfer knowledge? It helps set realistic expectations about what today's narrow AI can actually achieve.
That seems really valuable, and for students or educators thinking about the future.
Tagilia strongly advocates for an interdisciplinary approach. This isn't just a computer science problem anymore.
You need insights from other fields.
Absolutely. Cognitive psychology, neuroscience, even philosophy. Understanding how minds work, both biological and potentially artificial, requires input from all these areas. We need to break down those silos.
And finally, for policymakers, how does this perspective help them?
Understanding the deep uncertainty around timelines is crucial. It frees them up to develop nuanced regulations focused on the here and now.
Dealing with current AI risks, like bias or job displacement.
Exactly. Address the real, demonstrable harms and challenges of the narrow AI we have today, without getting paralyzed by speculation about some distant hypothetical superintelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It allows for sensible governance that doesn't stifle potentially beneficial long-term research.
You know, the biggest thing I take away from Tagilius's perspective is this idea that the whole AGI quest is almost like computational philosophy.
How do you mean?
Well, by trying to actually build a general intelligence, we're forced, maybe for the first time, to really deeply confront what intelligence is, what consciousness is, what it means to understand. We have to understand ourselves better to even attempt it.
That's a really interesting way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It forces us to operationalize these concepts we usually just talk about abstractly.
Exactly.
And maybe my final takeaway, building on that, is this profound point. If AGI does arrive, we shouldn't automatically assume that we'll be like us, only faster or smarter.
Right. It might be alien.
Right. It will likely be a fundamentally different kind of intelligence, with its own strengths, its own weaknesses, maybe its own way of perceiving or reasoning that we can't fully predict.
Which means our preparation needs to be flexible, adaptive.
Precisely. We need to be ready for the unexpected, rather than planning rigidly based on the assumption that AGI will just be a human mind scaled up.
Yeah.
It's a necessary and actually quite helpful reality check on our expectations.
A truly fascinating and, yes, grounding look at one of the biggest scientific quests of our time.
Couldn't agree more.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.